What's up, everybody? Today we got a very, very special episode. My special guest today is pro boxer who just had a stellar performance on Showtime, his television debut, Michael Dutch Over from Midland, Texas, where I currently live. What's up, Michael?
What's up, brother? Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for being back. If anyone did not know or hear, he was on our very, very first podcast episode ever, I think about 7 months ago. So we've always been grateful to Michael. Yes, sir. And things have gotten a little different since the last time we talked. So you made your television debut. I mean, you can't really prepare or dream for a better possible outcome, can you? Like, first round knockout, that's all you could want, right?
Yeah, man. Honestly, the turnout, you know, it was great. I couldn't have asked for a better performance, you know, just how it turned out. The Showtime crew, Showtime TV, television, they loved me. They loved my performance. And even behind, even not just in the ring, you know, the interviews and everything. So it was just it was a great weekend. And like I said, it was the start of the beginning. You know, it was my first TV. And, you know, I got more eyes looking at me now. And just going to get bigger from here. You know, I'm proud to be representing Midland.
Yeah, and you would think now it's just going to be way more TV appearances. Do you think you're going to get a lot more Showtime dates?
Sure. Yes, I do. I definitely do.
Fantastic. But I had to ask you, I noticed this. I'm not sure if a lot of people noticed. You were originally supposed to fight Raymond Mascarena, if I'm pronouncing that wrong. And it seemed like that night you fought Rosicky Cristobal, and I think that was a last-minute replacement. Is that right?
Yes, it was. My opponent, Ramon Mascarena Jr., was he had visa issues, I guess, crossing the border. And so that's something that's out of my hand. You know, I was preparing. I studied the tape on him. I was prepared for him. But, you know, we got the call that my opponent's going to change. It's not the first time that that's happened. And so you just got to, it's part of being a professional. You got to adjust, got to be able to adjust in the ring, you know, adjust to different situations outside of the ring. And this was one of them. We had a one-day notice. We're fighting a southpaw. Me and my coach went in the gym, worked on a couple of things that we could do that we saw from this guy. And, you know, we executed it. We executed exactly what we're working on. And, you know, so I couldn't be any happier with my performance and my team, and everything turned out great.
Wow. So they threw you in with the southpaw on 24-hour notice, and you managed to pull a first-round knockout.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I believe, you know, that just comes from, you know, when you got the call, you know, I believe, and I've heard it more, you know, I'm in the boxing scene, you know, most fighters wouldn't take, you know, a southpaw for a replacement after a full training camp, you know, with no southpaws. But, you know, I trust in my coach, my team, and all of my sparring that I've had, you know, even before this fight, in my amateur pedigree, I've had, you know, I've had over 150 amateur fights, you know, I've seen basically all the styles that I could have seen, you know, in sparring. Right. I've been sparring, you know, world champions, contenders, blue chip prospects for 3 years now, ever since I moved over here. And so, you know, I wasn't gonna see anything that I haven't seen before. So I was confident, you know, watched a little bit of tape, and there wasn't much I could do, you know, out of one day notice. So we had a game plan, boom, got in the ring, executed it, and turned out perfect.
And that's just more proof that the amateur background can always really take you far in the pros.
Yep.
Okay, so you're 13-0, 10 knockouts. What do you want to do next? And what weight class are you, like, really shooting for? Because I remember the last time we talked, you said you could hit anywhere between 126 and 135, I think you said?
Yeah, no, my body has outgrown, and that's one thing that we've been trying to figure out, too. You know, my 130, 35, you know, and I've been growing, you know, over this past year, so we decided to, and I'm comfortable, my lightweight at 135. And so I thought this fight was, this guy wanted to connect, we wanted to connect weight at 138. And so, you know, I made that easy. And so we're shooting for the lightweight division. for my first title.
And that is Lomachenko, right? Comney. Trying to think of the belt holders in that class.
And Mikey Garcia just vacated the WBC.
Yes. Yes, he did. Yeah. Okay. What is your opinion? You know, we just saw it with Big Baby Miller. With all the recent PED fails going on in pro boxing, is it, do you think there's anything we can do to make it better? Or is this just something that we just have to deal with? Because it's been going on forever, and it seems to just always pop up before big fights.
I mean, I just think it's something you have to deal with. You deal with that in every sport. You know, it's not just boxing. You know, football, anything, you know. I know it's a big thing, like cycling. There's so much. It's in sports, regardless, you know. And I don't support that, and you know, I think it's the lowest of the low, you know. But what are you going to do? You know, all you can do is take care of yourself. You know, I've always been a clean fighter all of my career, you know, and I expect that for the rest of my career. And, you know, you can't do anything else about what anybody else. Just take care of yourself.
Right. That is true. Okay. So let's say a magic promoter came up to you right now and he gave you a one fight contract for whatever amount of money, and you could write any name for any current champion right now at any weight you wanted. It does not matter who, you write that name on the contract, you're getting that fight next. It's for a title. What champion would you call out right now?
Canelo.
Who?
Canelo.
160 Canelo?
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, at any point in my career.
No. Like, say, like, tomorrow, a promoter comes up and is like, who do you want to fight in your next fight?
I thought you were talking about money-wise, where I can get the most. I know I get the most money out of Canelo.
No, I think you might get there one day. I was like, wow, he is, whoa.
No, okay, oh, but are you talking about present day?
Yeah, present day, and you're in the couple weight classes you're floating in. If you could make weight and fight any champion right now, and if you say it, you got it. Who would it be?
I think I'll take on Richard Comey.
That's a nice choice. That's a nice choice.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good fight. You know, good competitive fight. You know, for a world title, he's a title holder. You know, I believe in my abilities to fight against him to this day, you know?
Yeah, he packs a big punch, so that'd be an exciting fight for sure.
Yeah, he's just a puncher, you know? I feel like I could figure him out, you know?
Right.
Defensive-wise.
Right.
And ring generalship and just things like that.
So excluding yourself, of course, who do you think is the best current Mexican boxer? Do you think it's Canelo? Because it seems like a lot of people do, but some people dispute that.
For current Mexican boxers, well, who do you got? You got Canelo, you got Jaime Munguia, you got Gallo Estrada.
Who just had a big win.
Yeah, he did. I watched that fight, too. That was an awesome fight. Yeah, I'd have to go with Canelo. I mean, he's doing it the best, is getting paid the most, is doing it the easiest, and he's boxing these guys, and you know, he's a truly skilled dude, and to me, he's in the prime of his career. So I would go with Canelo.
Did you watch the Jacobs fight?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think? Canelo won, right?
I mean, Canelo won, but I felt he was a little too defensive, and you know, I think he was. It's kind of turned into like the Mexican Mayweather from what he can do. But
That's what we said.
He showed great defense. I wanted to see him be more offensive. But, you know, to me, he let off the gas a little bit and just tried to show his defensive skill. And be doing that, he gave some rounds away. And, you know, real, like, dogs, you know, they don't do that. You know what I'm saying? And so, but, you know, he still won. I had him winning 7-5.
Yep, I pretty much agree dead on with all of that. How active are you planning on staying? Like 3 or 4 fights a year? Or the two, yeah, two a year, like Canelo?
Three fights. I just had my first fight. I plan on getting two more fights in before the year. So maybe two or three. So we'll see how everything goes. Hopefully everything goes like how my last fight does, and I don't get cut or anything. And no injuries, and we just hope for the best.
Right. I forgot to bring this up earlier when I brought up the PEDs. Mike actually mentioned to me off recording that you spar at the same gym that Andy Ruiz is, the new fill-in for the Joshua fight.
Yep.
So, have you been seeing him recently? He's been looking pretty good.
Oh yeah. That dude's tough. He's a good dude. And I see the dudes he spar with. They're some huge dudes, and he's in there giving them that work. Like, I know he's a fast Mexican. He's a big boy, but that dude's fast.
He does seem like he has shocking speed for his size.
Yeah, I mean, he knows how. It's weird. It's easy. You know, he has a big body. But to me, like, when I see him spar, this dude has a great defense. Like, somehow, these guys, and it's just the foot movement, the distance, you know, the little steps. He keeps the elbows tight. He blocks and little angles. Like, it's hard to hit him, honestly. Like, these dudes hardly get clean shots on him, and he's putting leather on him. So, to me, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be more competitive than what people think it's going to be. So, and, you know, to me, it's great for the Mexican boxing community. You know, it's a Mexican heavyweight trying to get the world championship for the first time. You know, fighting Joshua, his biggest fight of his career. You know, all the Mexican support is going to be behind him, especially there in SoCal. You know, so they're going crazy, and you know, I think it's going to be a good fight.
I think it will be too. I think Ruiz is pretty good, and honestly, in my mind, he's undefeated. I thought he beat Joseph Parker in that close decision. I thought of something today. It's kind of ironic. The last interview we did, it was right on the cusp of Wilder Fury. And I asked you what were going to happen in that. And we actually nailed it pretty close. We predicted that fight together pretty dead on. And now, as I'm interviewing you again, Wilder fights this Saturday. So, are you going to watch the Brazil-Wilder fight?
It depends what I'm doing that night. I think I know what the results are going to be. So
yeah, probably a Wilder knockout.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm predicting a Wilder knockout. Yeah, that's on Saturday, right?
Yeah, that's on Saturday. Gary Russell Jr.'s on the undercard. Should be a pretty good card.
Oh, the fight I'm looking forward to this weekend that's going to top all of those is Ivan Baranchik versus Josh Taylor.
Absolutely. Winner gets Regis Prograis. That's going to be dirty no matter what.
That's the fight I'm going to be watching. I don't care what time the other ones are. I'm going to be watching that one if they're all on at the same time.
Yeah, that and that's on the same card with that Inoue, that Japanese monster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that dude is a monster.
All right, so before we wrap this up, I mean, you want to say anything about your spar? It's Thompson Promotions, right?
Yeah, Thompson and Banner.
And Banner.
I'm co-signing with Thompson and Banner Promotions, yep.
Okay, you need any shout-outs to them, anything?
Yeah, you know, I just want to do a big shout-out to, well, first off, Midland, Texas, you know, 432, you know, representing, and I seen all of the love I got from them, you know, especially after this fight, you know, the love just got even more, and, you know, shout-out to Midland, Texas, and Santa Fe Springs also where I train here, you know, I have a good following and community here behind me, and I want to shout-out to my sponsors, Iconic Apparel, Snack Supplements, West Texas Boulevard Night, Cavalier Energy Services, Black Hawk Dirt Work and Construction, Martinez Painting, and Roadrunner Trucking. And thank you. I just want to really thank these guys for sponsoring and being part of Team Dutch Over. And, you know, this is just the beginning. Like I said, you know, this is going to be a big year. Hopefully, we'll get another TV date coming soon. And, you know, we'll be working hard. I'm back in the gym tomorrow, actually. And I took a couple of days off to, you know, relax with my family here. And I'm back in the gym tomorrow, working to get better.
That sounds amazing. We can't wait to see you back on Showtime. I really, really appreciate you coming on again. And maybe after another couple Nasty TV Knockouts. We can get you back for another interview.
Oh, yeah. You already know, man. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it, Dustin.
Absolutely, man. The Sweet Science Class is always behind Michael Dutch over. That's my boy, Mikey D, Midland, Texas. Peace, man. Thank you for being on. All right,
brother. Thank you. Bye.
Later, man. We really hope you enjoyed that interview with Michael Dutchover, and now I've got Jakeem and Felix on the phone, and we're going to briefly discuss the three outcomes last weekend and then talk about a few fights coming up this weekend. So what's up, Felix? What's up, Jakeem?
What's up, Sweet Science Class? Dustin, Jakeem, how y'all doing?
What's up, man? How y'all doing?
Okay, so let's just dive right into last week. We'll save the Herd one for last. Burchelt Vargas, I mean, I think that went exactly as expected. Y'all got much to say?
Yeah. I mean, it happened exactly as I expected. It was a lot like the first fight, and they came out swinging, dude. There was a lot of punches thrown, and, you know, in a fight like that, the younger guy is usually going to come out on top. So, yeah, it was pretty much predictable.
You could see from the very early rounds that Vargas started fading much faster than the first fight.
Yeah.
Exactly, total beatdown. Vargas, he was hanging with him for a little bit.
He was. He was giving it his all, and he was not going to stop. I mean, they had to stop it. He wouldn't have stopped. And then we saw Dogbe rematch Navarrete. This fight kind of upset me and made me sad because I just thought Dogbe, if he would have changed up his style, like I said on the previous podcast, and stayed inside on the body, he could have had some more success, and he really went into this fight and fought the identical game plan for the first fight. I just don't agree.
Yeah, I think he needs a new trainer. He needs to get rid of his dad because, like you said, he didn't switch anything from the first fight to the rematch, and he wants to go up a weight class. I really don't think that's good for him either. Being that he cannot deal with a taller fighter.
He
did talk about going up in weight class because he's having a hard time making weight, but how does the power translate? I mean, not even being able to take punches from people in his current weight class, so let's just see how that goes.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting call when you've got a fairly big guy in your own weight class who's clearly beat you up twice, and then your next thing out of your mouth is, I'm going to move up. Like, I just thought that was very odd to hear. And finally, possibly fight of the year. I think this was probably fight of the year, and I think y'all probably agree. Jared Hurd, Julian Williams. Did y'all agree with the decision, first off?
Well, I agree with the decision. I mean, the scores were a little off by a couple rounds, but I mean, getting in Maryland or DC area where Hurd is from, and to see someone go to his house and get a unanimous decision, I'm just happy that the decision went the right way. Williams showed a lot of work, and it felt like Hurd couldn't block any uppercuts, anything on the inside, and he started off really slow. I think it was like something like, I think in the first two rounds, Williams threw 101 punches to Hurd 65. So he almost, you know, doubled his punches in the first two rounds. So he came out swinging early, and I think that's what won in the fight. He came out really fast.
Yeah, I thought the decision was right too. I don't know why people were surprised with Hurd. Like, people were saying he got exposed. I'm like, Hurd is fighting the same way as I've been seeing him. And like I said in the previous podcast, Williams' conditioning was gonna play a major factor in the fight. Williams didn't even get time for the 12th round. So Hurd simply gets outboxed. So I wasn't surprised.
No, I mean, if you think about it, like, Trout was probably winning the early rounds. Lara had a super close fight with him. He was just in there with the real big guy who could finally withstand the punishment. And really, Williams didn't get a hit a whole lot. And yeah, Hurd's defense is almost non-existent. That he's got a chin, I'll give him that.
Oh, he's tough. He's tough as nails.
I can't believe he got up. when he went down in the second or third, I was like, wow, I really thought it might be an early night. And he got up and never even really got wobbled again. And he took some monstrous shots. I cannot, yeah, I cannot believe he stood. Shots. Yeah, that dude's a lot of tough dude. Shots.
And there's
you know, and it goes to show, man, we got to, like, I saw the post-fight interview with Williams, and he's absolutely right, man. We got to stop writing dudes off when they take a loss, man. This is boxing, you know. Some of the greatest champions of all time have L's. So, you know, we have, I think we're in that era, like I always talk about the meme era, where you take an L, they're going to make a meme about you, the internet's going to kill you. So a loss nowadays is so much more intensified. So, and a lot of that, you know, I hate to blame Floyd Mayweather, but some of it has to do with that. You know, he kind of gave this persona, TBE, and all this. And yeah, he could do it. Now everybody, this is the guy that these young guys were watching growing up. So now they feel like they have to live up to that, to have the legacy. And they, look, you don't have to. You can have losses, man. It's good.
Fully agree. I mean, I know you and me, one of our favorites of all time is Miguel Cotto. He took several L's. It never made me like him any less whatsoever.
Yeah, because it's not losing. It's how you lose. And, yeah. You know, if you lose but you're going out like a champion, I mean, that people remember his losses, and he, like, it's gracious. You know, it's crazy. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like that era is kind of done, and it was good to see a fight like that, and it was good to see guys like a Herd take a loss, and I know he'll bounce back. You know, he's going to come back stronger.
He will. And now what's interesting about 154 is Charlo took a loss. Now Herd took a loss. Williams has a loss. Lara. Mm-hmm. Lara's got a couple. So there's no standout. I've even seen Jakeem talk about it on the internet. There's no real standout guy at 154. We thought it was maybe Herd by a hair. And I guess it's not.
Nope. Yeah, a lot of parody. It's a lot of parody.
That's one of the weirdest divisions in a while.
Yeah, it is. I've always said that.
All right, and then we can hop into what we're going to see this Saturday on DAZN. Very awesome double main event, WB, the World Boxing Super Series, WBSS semifinals. Felix is going to break down one of the fights. Jakeem's going to break down the other. I'm going to let Jakeem go first. He's going to break down the NUA Rodriguez fight. What's up, Jakeem?
Okay, so on DAZN, it's the semifinals in the bantamweight division for the World Boxing Super Series. Emmanuel Rodriguez versus NUA. And since my Southern American tongue is more comfortable calling him the monster, that's what I'm probably going to call him throughout the segment. They don't call him the monster, you know, they don't call him that for nothing. I think the first time I seen him fight live was about a couple years ago. He fought Antonio Nieves, and man, when I tell you, like, you could hear thuds coming from his punches. Like, I don't know if it was the microphones from HBO or the ref microphone or whatever, but man, that dude has a lot of power. I've never seen or heard like punches like that come from a small fighter like that. So yeah, he's going against Emmanuel Rodriguez. Rodriguez, he has a good amateur pedigree. He's a gold medalist from Puerto Rico. 19 wins, 0 losses, 12 KOs. But from what I've seen from him, he doesn't have a lot of power. His last fight in the quarterfinals against Jason Maloney, it was a split decision for Rodriguez. I don't think it should have been a split decision. It should have probably been a UD, but it went 12 rounds, and I just don't see a lot of power coming from Rodriguez. So I really don't think it's going to be that much of a test for the monster. The monster, of course, he has a high knockout ratio. He has 15 KOs, and from what I see, I think there's going to be a high output of punches during the fight, because even though Rodriguez doesn't have a lot of power, he likes to come forward and he likes to throw. the thing is, can he take the punches that the Monster is going to bring to him? So I think it'll be a really good fight. I don't think it'll go the distance, because when you look at just the pedigree of the Monster, he's moved up 3 weight divisions and he has 3 world titles. And in his previous fight in the quarterfinals, he knocked out Juan Carlos Payano, which is probably one of the best 1-2 punch knockouts I've ever seen, and it's probably the knockout of the year. So just looking back at the last fight, I think the Monster has the advantage, and I don't see it going past 6 or 7 rounds. So I pick the Monster to take it.
Very nice. I'm very excited for that. Excited to see what Rodriguez can do with the Monster, because yeah, he's, for, as of now, it's tough to see him being beat. He's a scary guy. And Felix is going to break down the other semifinals matchup, Taylor versus Baranchuk. Go ahead, Felix.
Yeah, we got a good one. Well, it could go either way. Like, you know, I try to see things in a different perspective when I look at fights. Well, this fight could either be a really, how do I say, it could be a close fight, depending on how Josh Taylor handles the wild style of a Baranchuk. Or it can be total domination by Taylor if he does come out and he just totally outclasses him. So that's how I see the fight going. What you have in Taylor, he's the bigger fighter, standing at 5'10". He has a 69.5 reach compared to Baranchuk, who's 5'8 with a 67 reach. Now, mind you, Baranchuk is the IBF champ, but he's the underdog coming into this fight. The winner of this fight, of course, faces Progus, and that's the fight we're all looking forward to. I know everybody wants the Taylor, so the Taylor-Progus fight, but Baranchuk can throw a monkey wrench in this whole tournament. Even though he's the champion, I mean, like I said, he's the underdog of all these guys left. And if you saw Progus' last fight, he looked pretty damn impressive. So this fight is going to set up a really big fight. Like Jakeem said, it's a Super 6 series, but this one is at lightweight. So we have 2 tournament fights going in this Saturday on DAZN. So y'all don't want to miss that. I think the last fight we have here, Taylor actually has an 86% KO ratio, even though he's more of a boxer rather than a power puncher like a Baranchuk. Baranchuk's 19-0 with the 12 KOs. It's like I said before, he comes with an aggressive, wild style, and when you're a fighter like that, it can go either way. I mean, either he's going to make Taylor uncomfortable or Taylor's about to box his head off. So in my opinion, I think it's going to be a 12-round decision. I don't see Taylor being able to put him out, but I do think he's going to dominate in a unanimous decision, but I could be wrong.
Very nice. Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to that. I think Baranchuk does have a chance, but he has to make it a wild, rough fight. He's not going
to
outbox.
Yeah, he has to make it sloppy. Yeah.
He ain't going to outbox Taylor. Then, hop over to Showtime. We're not going to touch much on it, but on the undercard, you're going to see Gary Russell Jr. And then in the main event, you've got the Bomb Squad, American heavyweight champ, making a lot of noise lately, whether you love him or hate him. Deontay Wilder is taking on Dominique Brazil. I'm actually looking forward to this fight. I see a lot of people kind of dissing it, but I'm looking forward to it. I think I know what to expect, but I think Brazil has a decent puncher's chance and might technically be a little bit better of a boxer as most of Wilder's opponents are. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, what do y'all think?
Out of all the 3 heavyweight, you know, the trilogy of guys we have, the Anthony Joshua, the Tyson Fury, and Deontay Wilder, it's funny how everybody's talking to Wilder the most, but it seems like he might have the toughest opponent coming up out of the 3. Brazil is, you know, he's already had a chance at the title. His only loss was to Anthony Joshua. He has, 18 knockouts and 20 victories, so he has the puncher's chance, like you just stated. Wilder, we know what we're going to get. And it's kind of funny how the Fury fight, it seemed like he was just trying to get that one-punch knockout, and I think that's why Fury boxed his head off, even though Fury's probably going to box his head off anyway. But he didn't help his chances by just looking for that one punch haymaker, and now he's talking all this WWE noise and talking about he wants to kill him and do all that. I'm just hoping he doesn't come out too aggressive and try to look out for, try to go for the knockout like he did against Fury, and then ends up backfiring on him. So let's hope that doesn't happen. Till this day, there we go.
What do you got, DQ?
Yeah, man. The thing I want to see is how much has Wilder improved from his last fight with Fury, because he know he was outboxed, and everybody, we all seen him get outboxed. And from the from just him talking in interviews after, you can kind of hear him say that they want to focus, even on the All Access joint, like they want to focus on, you know, him to get better just as a technical fighter. So I really want to see how he comes out and boxes Brazil. Like, is he really going to come out more technical? Is he going to fight a different fight? Because they can come back and bite him in the ass, as we seen last time when Porter fought Ugas, you know? And the thing, the difference, well, a lot of people thought Ugas won that fight, but the difference is Brazil's a heavyweight. So one mistake, you know, you can get knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to see what type of fight Wilder, what type of fighter he's going to be. What type of fighter is he going to fight this Saturday? Like, that's interesting to me.
And what I find very interesting, I remember right after the Fury fight, he was talking about how they wanted to put on some weight, put on maybe 10, 15 extra pounds of muscle. And today I saw a live video get uploaded to Facebook. Y'all might have saw it. It was him just hitting his mitts with his trainer. And, I mean, I could be wrong, and he may look the same as he always did, but he looked super jacked, like a lot more muscly. I think he might have added some. I think he did add some muscle and some weight. He looked jacked. I just wonder if that hurts him. It is, but I wonder if it ends up hurting him.
Yeah, because he relies a lot on athleticism. He's super athletic for a heavyweight.
Yep, and I also always think back, I don't remember which one of the trilogy. It was either the second or the third Bo Holyfield trilogy, but Holyfield got, you know, so buff, his arms were so jacked that it kind of like tired him out from holding him up all fight. He even said he got too muscly. It can backfire. So I would like to see what it does to Wilder's stamina. But hey, he might just knock him out in like a round or two, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Maybe that's what he's looking for. I think he's trying to, because I think all this talk and all this stuff, he's trying to self-promote, because, you know, even though he thinks he's the A-side, we all know Anthony Joshua's the A-side, so I think he's trying to gain some leverage, and he's doing his talking and his ranting, and he's going to try to make Brazil go out in dramatic fashion, like he says. It's all promotion. He's just trying to set himself up for negotiation for this potential Anthony Joshua or Tyson Fury fight,
which makes this fight exciting, because if Brazil can survive the first six rounds, where will Wilder's stamina be, especially if with this extra muscle, if Wilder's really in kill WWF mode with extra muscle, maybe affecting the stamina, if Brazil can survive the first half, this fight could get very interesting.
I think it could get interesting, because a lot of his fights that were late knockouts, you know, the couple or the few that he's had, he was either losing by rounds, or he was super tired. Like, you can just see his body language. And that's, I think his heart gets underestimated, because there's a lot of times where he looks super tired, man. His body language, he's kind of leaning on guys, but still somehow digs deep and he finishes fights. So it's going to be interesting to see, because if Brazil lasts past six rounds and Deontay's coming out fast, anything can happen after that.
It really can, especially in the heavyweight division. So everybody, be sure to tune in to DAZN and Showtime this Saturday. Two good, you know, it's a doubleheader on each one. So we got four good fights, and DAZN's going to throw on a couple extra undercards. So it's a very, very good Saturday. We hope you enjoyed the interview with us. We hope you enjoyed the Michael Dutchover interview. Felix, Jakeem, y'all want to tell everybody bye?
Yeah, have a great weekend, and we just want to say thanks to Michael Dutchover for the interview, and we just want to say thank you for the support, guys. Continue to share us, like us, and continue to listen to the podcast.
Yo, and I wanna shout out all our listeners from across the pond, all our listeners in Central and South America, and if you are listening in the Philippines, shout out to you. Because when I look throughout the page, look, we got people all over, so shout out to everybody.
Yeah, we're really noticing Word. People all over the map, so we appreciate everybody. Like the page if you haven't, join the group if you haven't, follow the podcast. We're on all your outlets. Go to your favorite one, search us, like us, favorite us, subscribe to us, whatever it is. Just make the Sweet Science Class a part of your boxing life. We're here to stay. Thank you for tuning in. See you next time.